job, choir, or orchestra. You sound fantastic today. And aren't you grateful for them leading us every week in worship? Give them a hand one more time. We're so grateful for them. We do appreciate all the time and effort y'all put into that, and we're thankful. We are thankful. We are in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31 this morning. If you have your Bibles, be turning quickly to Proverbs, chapter 31. Or if you don't have your Bible, and the pew Bible in front of you is page 538. That's where we're going to be. And let me just say, happy, happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the room. If you haven't already, make sure you text, make sure you call your mother as quickly as possible. I've tried to do my best to help you out this morning. We even have a photo booth just right out here so you can create that lasting memory. If you haven't gotten your picture with mom, get your picture taken before you leave this place. There's one right here in the social hall, the fellowship hall, and also down by the children's area. You'll find you can get your picture with mom. We're in Proverbs chapter 31. And as you're finding your way there, I couldn't help but think of this little story of two friends that went over to have a dinner at his home. One buddy came over to another friend's home. He walked into the home and he saw something magnificent. He saw his friend greet his wife at the door. They embraced and they hugged and they kissed. And then they went and they sat down and the wife began to prepare this delicious meal. The kids came out and they had this wonder of a meal. And all of the family complimented the mother for making it. The guest, is his friend, is just amazed at how this family is treating the mother. And then the husband of the home said, "You know, Sugar Bear, this is one of the finest meals. This is such a great meal, Mom." And he got his buddy alone over there in the corner and said, "Why do you treat your wife so good?" He said, "Because she deserves it. She cooks, she takes care, she's just a wonderful woman of God, and we're just so thrilled to have, I just can't believe I call her mine." His friend got inspired. His friend thought, "I'm going to try this when I get home." He pulls out of the driveway. He heads to his home. He gets there, and there is his wife. He grabs her, embraces her, gives her a big kiss, and she bursts out into tears. She just starts sobbing. I mean, like one of those ugly cries. You know what I'm talking about? He thought, "What in the world is going on?" She said, "You will never believe this. Billy got in a fight at school. The refrigerator quit working, spoiled all the groceries, and now you come home drunk." I didn't know if I was going to make it through that. It was so good. I couldn't wait to get to it. Oh, man. I hope and pray we don't take those godly women in our lives for granted. We do cherish you. We do appreciate you, but I am also very, very sensitive to this morning and this day that there are some of you that are facing Mother's Day for the first time without mom. But can I encourage you, because of Jesus Christ and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, although this may be a sad day for us, this is a glad day for Mother. She is in the presence of the Lord. Never there will be a tear that will fall from her eye again. Never will sickness touch her body again. Today she stands in the presence of the Lord. This is a good day. But we come to Proverbs 31. The Lord impressed it on my heart that I'd speak on this subject, not to intimidate anybody in the room, but to encourage you. I find several elements in this portion of Scripture that we come to that I see in so many lives here at Flat Creek. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 and following, the Word of God says this: "Who can find a virtuous woman or wife?" Some of your translations say, "For her worth is far above rubies. For the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar." Verse 15 says, "She also arises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She clothes herself, girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household. For all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time this morning. Father, it is in the name of Jesus we thank you and we come to you now for the teaching of your word. Teach us, Father. Illuminate the words of Scripture before our eyes, that we can know you and follow you more closely. Let us be obedient to your words today. Help me to step out of the way and you take center platform. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, minds, and souls. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And amen. And amen. I want to talk to you about two things this morning. The value of our mothers and the virtue of our mothers. And number one I want us to look at is the value of our mothers. Verses 10 through 24 is where you'll find this section that we're going to look at. And look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. Now, I don't want you to just stroll right past that, because you'll miss the very fact, as some of us have so well known our wives to appreciate the gift of a diamond. Well, this isn't a diamond that he refers to. Diamond catches and reflects light. Oh, but this is something far more different and far more valuable. He refers to her through the oracle of his mother. Remember, this is King Lemuel who's writing from a teaching of his mother. And he refers to her as he pens these words of one who is far more valuable than rubies. What is interesting about a ruby, church family, is its deep inner glow. Rubies are well known for that inner glow that they possess. And I want you to see and drop down to verse 30, because I think we find the reason why there is this deep inner glow in so many of you ladies here today, and certainly in this virtuous woman that we find in Proverbs 31. It's because she acknowledges charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who, what's that say? Fears the Lord. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I think it's fascinating that the beginning of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, that you'll find that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. At the end of Proverbs, right here in our text today, we find that it's the fear of the Lord that is this deep inner beauty of a person. The Apostle Paul writes about it over in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. You can listen or turn there in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with the might through His Spirit in the inner man. This glow, this deep glow in our lives is in the inner man. When one fears the Lord, there is a glow in their lives. Can I just illustrate it in this way? I love getting ready for Sunday mornings. I've always loved to dress up ever since I was young. I just can't wait for Sunday mornings. My wife does the same. She does the same. But here's how our routine goes. Guys, don't look around, all right? Now, you just look at me. Keep your eyes forward right now, fellas, all right? So she comes out, and she'll have some pair of shoes on, and she'll look at me and say, what do you think of these? Now, my wife is beautiful. My wife is absolutely gorgeous. I said, those look good, baby, but, you know, we're about time to go. Those look good. And then, sure enough, we'll start packing all the stuff up, and then here she comes again. I said, well, what do you think of these ones? Different pair of shoes on. They look good. Let's go. And then here's the question. Guys, here's the question, right? Well, what didn't you like about the other pair? Put one of those on, put one of those on, and let's go! We got to go! We dress it up on the outside, and she's absolutely one of the most attractive things about my wife and your bride and your mother as well, is that there's this deep inner glow in their life. It's the inner man that shines. It's right here where King Lemuel is writing from the oracle of his mother, from the teaching of his mother, that her worth is far more above rubies. There's this glow about her life. I want you just to note two things about this inner glow. And you find it in verses 11 through 13. The heart of the husband safely trusts her. The thing I want you to know is there's value. She is valuable to her husband. The virtuous woman is valuable to her husband. Why is she valuable to her husband? Because he safely trusts her. Some other translations may say because he has full confidence in her. That everything in their life is trust. Friends, if you do not protect trust, it can devastate your entire family. I think there's a freedom here that we look back all the way to the garden, we find a sense of freedom. You see, Adam and Eve were created with such freedom. It just wasn't physical nakedness that they had in their freedom. There was emotional nakedness as well. There was a freedom and a trust to speak about anything in their lives. It was on the table. They could talk. There was a freedom there in their marriage, Adam and Eve in the garden. Not only was there emotional nakedness, there was spiritual nakedness, but friends, also there was spiritual nakedness. They were there together in all of those facets, and they trusted one another. He safely trusts her. She's of value to her husband. It's in Genesis 2:18 that we find that God created a helpmeet for her, for him. So not only is she trustworthy, God has created her for him. In Proverbs chapter 18, you're in Proverbs 31 right now, go over to Proverbs 18, verse 22. In Proverbs 18, verse 22, I want you to see what a treasure this woman is. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Go over to chapter 19, verse 14. Houses and riches are the inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. And here in Proverbs chapter 31, go to verse 12, and you'll find again, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. This is the basis of submission that we talk about. Submission really equals partnership. It's over there in Ephesians chapter 5 where the Apostle Paul writes that a husband ought to love his wife the way that Christ loves the church, and she's to submit under him. Now friends, that is a partnership. That's not a license for abuse. People would be more willing to submit. I'm going to speak directly to the men right here. And it'd be a greater partnership if we loved our wives the way Christ loved the church. I was expecting a little amen out of you ladies right there. That was a freebie right there. Maybe if we loved our wives the way that Christ loved the church, this idea of partnership would be a little bit easier. This is the basis of submission. But if you drop down to Proverbs 31, verse 23, not only is she valuable to her husband, she is, absolutely, but I want you to see she lifts the public image of her husband. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She is valuable to her husband, absolutely, but also she's valuable to her household. In verses 14 through 22, now I don't want some of you to miss this, because some of you think that this really isn't applying to you, and I would submit to you it absolutely is. Guys, students, ladies, this all applies to us. We ought to be praying for a woman like this in your life down the road, 15, 20, 30 years down the road, right, parents? All right. And ladies, listen to Carla Barnhill's book, when it's called The Myth of the Perfect Mother, Rethinking Women's Spirituality. And in that book, she makes several shocking statements. For example, she says, we need to treat women like they are Christians first and mothers second. We need to recognize that motherhood falls under the big umbrella of gospel living. She goes on to say that though the church supported mothering, it didn't always support mothers. And then here's where it conflicts with much of our modern day teaching about being a mother. We are created to live a kingdom life that follows God in the way of Jesus Christ. Everything else we do in our lives falls under that authority: marriage, work, but also motherhood. Of course, we are called to serve our families, but we are also called to be the salt and light to the rest of the world. And then here's where she gets to the church. The Bible studies for women are almost all centered on motherhood. That means the church sometimes treats women not as multifaceted people that we are, she writes, but only as moms. What I need from my church is how to be a person of faith, not just how to discipline my kids. Now, you may not agree with everything that Miss Barnhill is writing or saying, but here's something that you better not miss. If you spend the next 18 to 20 years of your life growing and raising your children, but you don't grow spiritually, mentally, emotionally, personally, you will have one dull, dreary life, and you will not be the ruby that God created and called you to be. There's an important spiritual lesson, not just for the mothers in the room this morning. It's for every single one of us. You see, sometimes we get in the way of Jesus. Sometimes we let too much of ourselves get in, and the result, it blocks out the ability to see Jesus shine in and through our lives. No wonder why John the Baptist said, I must decrease and He must increase. You see, the less there is of me or you, there can be of Him. And mothers, Jesus, the light of the world, wants to shine in and through your life. And the only way He can do that is for you to decrease and allow Him to increase, so you can have the dispersion, the light shine through you in your life and in your love to all those around you. Maybe. That's why Winston Churchill said this about his mother: my mother always seemed to me like a fairy princess, a radiant being possessed with timeless riches and power. She shone for me like the evening star. I loved her dearly. Not only is our virtuous woman valuable to her husband, she is valuable to her household. Look in verse 14. You'll find that she finds deals. In verse 15, she's a skilled worker. In 16, she's a superb business woman. Oh, but in verses 17 through 20, she clothes herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is deeply passionate and compassionate and compelled to go out to those who are in need. You see the heart of this woman reflected. She has a giving heart, but also she's tough as nails. Verses 20 through 21, she's not afraid of the snow. after spending a few years in Ohio, my wife will say, "Hallelujah, amen." But look at verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. She cares about how she presents herself. She's modeling. Now remember, this comes from King Lemuel's mother, this teaching to him. She's teaching her son about the importance of dress. She dresses herself with fine linen. She cares about the holiness of her life, the modesty of her life as she teaches and trains and models to her son. There's a premium, in my opinion, on looking good in the Bible. You don't have to look dull. Some of us think that when you place your faith and trust in Christ, you have to look dull and plain. That's not actually true. But the concern is when you instead try to look hot instead of holy. Hello? Are you all going to leave me up here by myself? Okay. That's okay. The value of our mothers. Let me give you the second thing, and I'll be done. The virtue of our mothers. Verses 25 through 31. The virtue of our mothers is summed up in just two words. It is moral strength. And you find this moral strength in a person in Ruth. If you remember the account of Ruth, Ruth loses everything. She loses her husband, but she lost everything earthly. Over there in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. You find the moral strength and character of Ruth. Listen to these words. Entreat me. See, she wouldn't leave her mother-in-law, Naomi. Entreat me not to leave you, nor to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. You know, it was her character that shined through her life. It was her moral strength that just beamed out of that inner woman and inner man, if you will, out of her life that caught the eye of Mr. Boaz. You remember this in chapter 3, verse 11, the Word of God says this, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." The inner man shined out of this deep glow, far more valuable than rubies, shone out of Ruth's life and ought to shine out of every one of ours, but it certainly shines out of Proverbs 31 where we find ourselves today. Her life shone with the glory of Christ. Now, let me give you four factors of virtue that I just want you to note so we can leave here with some practical principles. She was a strong woman in verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She was strong. She did not fear for tomorrow. She knew who she was. But she was a sensible woman as well. Look at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of, what's that word? Some of you aren't looking at it. What's that word? Kindness. I want you to contrast this with, and entertain me for a second, in chapter 21, verse 19 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 19. I want you to see this. Proverbs 21, verse 19. Contrast the virtuous woman with kindness on her tongue to what the proverb says in 21 verse 19. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Don't get mad at me. Don't write me a letter. If you do, it's markw@flatcreekbaptist.org. Proverbs chapter 27 verses 15 and 16. Go over to Proverbs 27, 15, and 16. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil in his right hand. How about 22, 22 verse 11. I want you to see this. 22 verse 11. Proverbs 22 verse 11. And then we'll go back to Proverbs 31. 22 verse 11. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his, what's that word? Lips. The king will be his friend. A virtuous woman, a virtuous man has grace upon their lips. The law of kindness is on her tongue. She understands when to speak and be gracious. She understands in being sensible. She is a teacher. Now, I don't know what it is about moms, but they have their own language. And they have their own understanding. Moms, am I correct in this? If you don't believe me, just listen. I'll try to prove it to you. You know you're a mother when you automatically double knot everything. You know you're a mother when you find yourself humming Mickey Mouse Clubhouse as you are doing the dishes. You know you're a mother when you hear, I've seen Kelsey do this, hear a crying baby in the grocery store and you start rocking gently back and forth and back and forth even though your children are at school. You know you're a mother when you actually start to like the smell of strained carrots mixed with applesauce. Oh, you know that you're a mother when you spend a half an hour looking for your sunglasses only to have your children say, Mom, why don't you try those ones you pushed up on your head? Now, this one is true. You know you are mother when you're out for a nice romantic meal with your husband. You're having a nice adult conversation. Before you know it, you've already reached over and started cutting his steak. Oh, a mother is teachable. A virtuous woman is teachable. She's teaching her son. She's sensible. She's strong. But also, verse 28, she's special. In verse 28, she's special. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Mother, you're special. You know, this isn't over something that she's done. This is over who she is. She's special. And then lastly, this morning, our mothers are virtuous because she is spiritual. What makes her so virtuous is her spirituality in Jesus Christ. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Our mothers teach us a lot, but you know, I can't help but think of the fact of this. King Lemuel's mother. If you look at the life of King Lemuel, it's also another name for King Solomon. King Solomon's wife was, or not wife, excuse me, rather, his mother was Bathsheba. I would submit to you this morning, this passage drips with grace. Here is a woman who messed it up, had an affair with a man named David. They have children. And yet, years later, we come to a passage like Proverbs 31, and we call it the virtuous woman as she teaches her son about what a godly woman is. Can I just speak to every one of us? And it doesn't matter if you've messed up this morning. The power of the grace of Jesus Christ is if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just and willing to forgive you of all of your unrighteousness. It's an amazing truth that he learned these thoughts from his mother. The wonderful grace of God. You know, I was in seminary a few years ago. Dr. Carl Deamer was teaching us young preacher boys in Baptist history. Now that will light your soul on fire. And there was this one particular story about Felix Mance that I was just enthralled with that I love to share every Mother's Day. Felix believed so passionately that when you are saved, you ought to be baptized, not just sprinkled, but you ought to go all the way under, and that's what makes him a Baptist. He felt so passionately that Greek word baptizo means to immerse, which it does. So he made a stand in his churches and where he served that those who were saved ought to be baptized. Well, there was a little sect that really didn't like that at all. You ought to be sprinkled. And they tracked him down and hunted him down to even desire to kill Felix. You know, they got a hold of Felix. They got a hold of Felix and they bound him up. His hands and his feet. Said, "You believe in baptism, huh, big boy? Walk into that chilly river." And as Felix Mance walked into his martyrdom that day, as the water rise up to his chest, up to his chin, the last words he heard on this earth were from his mother, who stood on the shoreline yelling, "Felix, stand strong! Felix, stand strong! Felix, stand strong!" as her son gave his life for Christ. Felix Mance's mother understood there is something far worse than death. It's disobedience to an almighty God. I ask you this morning, as men and women, boys and girls in this room, do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? We've already seen King Lemuel's mother, King Solomon's mother, has been transformed by the wonderful grace of God. That could be your story today. I don't know of a better thing that you could do on Mother's Day than turn your heart to Jesus Christ and turn away from your sins. Mom, I don't know of a better thing you could do in your life today than turn your heart to Jesus Christ and confess that He is Lord. Have you ever placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If not, why not do that now? Right now, where you sit. That when you die, you'll know that you'll go to be in the presence of the Lord. Where some today, although they grieve that mom's not here, they know she's in the presence of the Lord. You could have that assurance today. With every head bowed and every eye closed.